right now on VFN TV. It was May the 10th, 2012, when the Lord spoke to me about giving a word and delivering it to Escambia County, the Gulf Coast region. I said, Lord, you know, if you want me to do it, have them invite me. And they did. And you're going to begin to see today what that word was, how it was given on record, and how that word has come to pass, and how we can respond to God and what he's saying. If we hear the Lord and turn to the Lord, things can change. Also, we'll be talking about a prophetic word that's been spoken about a national police force and what our president's talking about that as well. And Rick Joyner, he's speaking on very specifically about what he saw, that we're in like a dress rehearsal for the exact same thing that happened in Nazi Germany. We're seeing take place in America on the road to destruction. What? Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Another headline read, Does God Play Softball? Hail the size of softballs destroy thousands of homes and autos.
Terrifying storms lasting up to softball-sized hail.
A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted.
Voters in the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union.
We are in World War III, and so the Congress should be dealing with this.
So there is.
So we've been infiltrated.
Who do you think is writing your foreign policy?
When the president of the free world stands and says that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate, to create more terrorism.
Embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Islam is about peace and brotherhood.
One of the prophetic dreams God gave us was how this current administration cut a covenant with Islam, and we're seeing specifically it looks like this thing is being walked out.
I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand, if the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America.
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county by county fight. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
The pastor and the sheriff are some of the most important folks in your community.
It's going to be full-scale war. It's going to be with all the capabilities of the IDF.
Best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state.
We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
The trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation.
God is calling out the evangelists to arise and to proclaim the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders, because this is the season for the glory of God to shine, and the world is going to know that Jesus the Savior is alive and well.
Let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. About 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about a million a month.
What many say is the greatest spiritual awakening in southern West Virginia history.
Lord, you don't write the checks.
Billy Graham's mantle's coming on this nation. There was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, your people will be my people. We're declaring Jubilee. It's time for another great messianic awakening.
We Catholics
abbiamo ricevuto tanto dal movimento di Azusa Street.
So much from the Azusa Street.
Ma vogliamo a voi protestanti.
We want to ask you Protestants. We want to ask for your forgiveness for not respecting the love of the law.
Per non aver usato.
I want to walk with those who walk in agreement. I'm telling you, we can make a difference. But think about these seven mountains of culture. You can call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
Smith Wigglesworth, he made this statement just before he died. Whenever the word comes together with the spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. If you say yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go.
This is so exciting to watch all these things take place. You know, we live in God.
Yes.
We abide with God, and we're excited about the things of God. And I believe the church is going to get excited again about the things of God.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, it was May the 10th, 2012. God had just told us that he wanted us to stay on the Gulf Coast and not be in Texas because we were planning on relocating the studios and the hub of what we're doing in the ministry in Texas. We were told that we could have flights anywhere around the nation, that we were picking our place out in the northern parts of Texas, north of Dallas. And the Lord began to speak to us about the time of the explosions that took place at the Boston Marathon and said, I want you to be on the Gulf Coast. I'm going to change the environment of the Gulf Coast, and I'm going to begin to make it a glory zone, and I'm going to reach the world from that particular area. We've been seeing that take place, but it first took this. I said, well, Lord, you know, if I'm going to stay on the region of the Gulf Coast, I'm just going to say it, whatever it is. And if you will get the government to invite me to come down to be able to share this word, I'll share this word that you gave me. And before you know it, you know, Governor Scott of Florida I was invited to a signing of a bill called the Born Alive Bill, where Governor Scott signed a bill, which is what we prayed about for years, that if the baby is in the womb, if the baby's born alive, even in an abortion situation, that if the doctor kills that child, it'll be murder. The doctor has to take that child to a hospital. So that was a huge win that we had for the life. And so when I was at that meeting with the governor, a county commissioner by the name at that time, Stephen Berry, asked me, would you come down and speak before the county commission? And the reason why I said that specifically, to come down before the county commission, that's why I wanted God to invite me, was because that's where all the governmental business takes place. They document it. They have a record of everything that happens. And we're going to show you that record, but we have some video of that taking place. But well, first of all, when I got there, the court reporter was going around telling everybody, her name was Doris, and you hear me talk about her on here, but she's telling everybody in the courtroom there, in the county commissioner's room, says, he's going to prophesy. He's going to prophesy. At that time, George Tuart, the county administrator, he came up and talked to me said very specifically that he was aware of the prophetic words going forth. Well, this is that word that was delivered on May the 10th, 2012. And I want to share this, and you're going to see the fulfillment of this word, because Steve Kalaszewski took some time to be able to show you what happened when this word became a reality. And remember, when this was being given, because it's difficult sometimes for us to say, whatever's happening right now, we always tell ourselves, this has always been. But it wasn't. This was not happening at that time. So God was telling us and warning us prophetically, and he's telling us, if in fact we repent, if my people who are called by my name, when we see this and humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he will actually stop it. As a matter of fact, so this is that word right now. And I believe it's going to show you that God was aware all along, but also what the answer is as well. Let's take a look.
Good evening, ladies and
gentlemen. Welcome to our county commission meeting for today, June 10th, 2013. Please turn your cell phones to the off, silence, or vibrate position. The county commission allows any person to speak regarding any item on the agenda. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes unless otherwise determined by the chairman to allow for the sufficient time necessary for all speakers. We'll start with our invocation with Commissioner Berry, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Grover Robinson. Mr. Berry.
Thank you. Could I ask Mr. Greg Lancaster to come up to the podium and start tonight's business?
Take one moment. Lord laid on my heart to be able to share a word. I shared it here before with Doris was here. I think a couple of commissioners were here. And for 10 years, we had a prophecy here in the city, the Father Son camping trip, carrying the fatherless out to the wilderness. In the middle of that particular camping trip, Commissioner Robinson was there helping us out during that time as well. We came down here to speak to the county commissioners at that time and share with them what was going on. And 70 leaders were there at that meeting when we were preparing to take these 1,000-plus boys in the wilderness. And 4 of the county commissioners said nothing. And 1 county commissioner said, this is good.
Well, I think it's a wonderful program to bring fathers and sons together in our community.
Within a few months, all the county commissioners were removed except for 1 there. And it's like, my goodness, you guys, your position is so important in the eyes of God as leaders in the city. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing and your stand right there. And then, Lord, I got an invitation to come back, and the Lord laid on my heart. And that's when Mr. Tuart asked me about, did you have a dream? And I did. That's when he told me about the coming storm. And I talked about the coming storm that was going to be coming. We talked about hurricane storms, but it was actually the financial storm that Alan Greenspan talked about.
Major financial institutions have teetered on the edge of collapse, and some have failed. As uncertainty has grown, many banks have restricted lending. Credit markets have frozen, and families and businesses have found it harder to borrow money. We are in the midst of a serious financial crisis.
And as I'm about to go into prayer, I just want to say the Lord laid on my heart. I said, I'm not going to share it unless somebody asked me to come, and of course Commissioner Berry asked me to come, and I said, this is it, I was going to share it, that there's another level about to happen. There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before. It's the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen? And as leaders, I just want to know that we're praying for you, that God would give you wisdom to be able to help us through what's about to happen, because people are going to make demands of you that only God can touch y'all's heart to give you that kind of wisdom. Things are going to increase, they're going to escalate, and finances are going to be really tough. And I really believe God showed me that there's something special on this county, and I'm going to ask you guys to seek the Lord and pray about that when you're making decisions. It's kind of unrealistic to pull money out of the air, but God can make it happen. Father God, I thank you for each of the leaders that have given their lives to lead, God. I thank you for their willingness to spend endless hours making sure that our county is safe, that each of us have an equal opportunity in the city, that our economy and our jobs happen here. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the grace that's upon this city. And I just ask you, Lord, that you would spare Escambia County for what's about to possibly happen in the United States. I pray that you would put a spirit of unity on each of the commissioners to work together. Other constitutional officers, Father God, that have to work with the commissioners, that they would listen and they would work together, Father God. We just ask you for grace on the city, Lord. And you show me there's hope and there's good things coming, but we're about to go through something, God. And I just pray for that grace to be able to go through and to protect all citizens, God. And I just pray this crime would come down in our city. This crime would just leave this city, Father God, and our people would be safe. Our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sons and daughters. Be safe in this city, Father God. In Jesus' name.
now, the real devastation is in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. What you really think about is all those families being evacuated, and then how do they get their life back to order? I mean, how do they, you know, their homes, I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
The first bomb blast. As people look down the street at the first.
That I've ever been involved with. Very loud.
There were suicide bombers outside the stadium. You could hear it right there as the game was going on. Two more attacks in central Paris in the 10th and the 11th arrondissements at restaurants in that area. And now the AP is reporting that at least 100 have been found dead inside that concert hall.
The young mother herself allegedly firing out the back window of this SUV at police. And today authorities say they are investigating the shootout in San Bernardino as an act of terror.
This is now a federal terrorism investigation led by the FBI.
Terrifying storms lasting up to softball-sized hail.
People in the restaurant scramble for their lives. The terrorists killed four Israelis and wounded several others.
This is a savage crime, murder, and terrorism in the heart of Tel Aviv.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
It is tragic. I mean, I had the fear of the Lord on me when I was delivering that word, but I did it. You know, I wanted to make sure that I spoke up, because God does speak. You know, are we hearing what He says, and are we telling people what He says? Despite the outcome, we're seeing that word being fulfilled. And when you think about it, the question is, when will this stuff stop? Because it's just building and building and building. We talked about it, about John Paul Jackson, when he saw these words and he talked about them prophetically. He asked the question, when would this stop? And this is what the Lord told him. Take a look.
He said, my people are going to cry out to me. I said, when? And he says, it will keep getting darker until they do. It will keep getting darker until they do.
All we have to do is cry out to God. Well, how do you do that? We just go, God, I acknowledge you. Lord, forgive me for not being grateful for you and acknowledging you in my life, honoring you. And then sin is in our life. We would just acknowledge that, God, forgive me. I've sinned and I've fallen short. God, I want to humble myself and begin to be your disciple like you called me to be, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then God says he heals the land. Think about that. He heals the land. When we get back from this break, things are going to continue to escalate until we cry out to God like John Paul Jackson was told by the Lord. Well, think about this. Imagine a national police force in America. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And she said, I just left Seattle. And she said, I was in a meeting in Seattle, Pastor. She said, I know I never met you, but I've been going here a long time. I said, yeah, I know that. She said, I just left a meeting in Seattle. And she said, Dr. Cho was the speaker. And she said, I heard him say in Seattle that the Lord told him, he said, I'm about to pour out my spirit in America. And he said, well, Lord, I said,
Are you through with America? Are you through with America? It looks like that, you know, everything's just going haywire. Are you through with America? And God said, oh, no. He said, I'm not through with America. He said, I'm about to pour out my spirit there. He said, as a matter of fact, get your atlas out of your attaché case. And he got his atlas out, opened it up, and the Lord said, point. And it landed right on the dot of Pensacola. And the Lord spoke to Joe and said, I'm going to pour out my spirit first here like a match head. It'll burn like a match head, bright, and it'll be powerful. And he said, then it will go over to the Mississippi River, and it'll back up across Florida again, come down into the peninsula of Florida, go up the east coast down through the west and the southwest, and shoot out to the northwest. And before my coming, all of America will be ablaze with the glory of God.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in Vision and SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is Prudent Preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I just love that, what they do in these transitions and all. Delivering difficult news, and you're hearing just an excellent, excellent program that goes together. Well, that word was delivered on May the 10th, 2013.
The word of the county commissioners was June 10th, and you were talking about...
The June 10th, 2013, right?
And then there was a prophetic word that you had shared earlier.
I haven't shared that yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it was June the 10th, 2013, where, deliver that word, and we're seeing it come to pass. And this is one of the things that I prayed and asked God for, you know, that he would just put a protective hedge around the Gulf Coast. And if you look at the dates of when things begin to shift in the Gulf Coast, industry, Naval Federal Credit Union, airline industry, Airbus and Mobile, and all the different universities and things that begin to happen. The University of West Florida that's in the Gulf Coast region begin to get a football team. Just industry begin to wake up. It just became a different place. And God said specifically, he said, and he gave this word through Pastor John Kilpatrick. He said, you're not going to have, prophetic word, you're not going to have to move because I'm going to shift everything around you.
Wow.
And that was amazing. I remember walking out of the studio that day, and we did this whole program on convergence. So we're watching, like, oh my goodness, everything God's saying, you know, is converging. You got to go back and listen to that program. It was a powerful program. And as I was walking out, because we were ready to go to Texas, I mean, that's where I mean, we were trying to study the Pledge Allegiance for the state flag in Texas.
We were Longhorns.
We were Texas Longhorns. We've already saw the one tree in Texas. I mean, we're like, that's a nice tree. You like that tree? That's a nice tree.
Yeah.
I could live around that tree. I mean, it's not many trees.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hot in Texas that the streets are buckling up and just shattering. They don't build houses, fences out of wood, mm-hmm. where we were at looking at. They build it out of brick because the wood just shrivels up and just psh,
yeah.
And we're like, okay, God, hey, this is
where you want us.
This is where you want, right? Whatever you want, God.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because a lot of the leaders around the country were hearing from the Lord, and they said, you know, everybody had to hear from God, and they said God has spoke to them, and God wanted to see what we're going to do. But what happened was, when, for all the reasons that you can think of, you know, we began to get a terrorist attack in America where the Boston bombing took place, and instantly, as soon as that happened, God told me like maybe 10 days prior to that it was going to happen. And I mean, I didn't know that was going to happen, but I knew that something's about to happen. It was an explosion. You had to look around to see who was hit. And then all of a sudden it happened. And then God says, camp, stop. And so we just stopped. And everything shifted that day. It was a shifting in America. And the narrative obviously is we're going to use a sustained militant effort to try to organize America so we can get them to a place they want to be, polarize them, and then settle in a new place. A fundamental transformation of America. Saul Alinsky 101.
Change.
And then we you know, so all of a sudden, you know, things shifted. And I know Ian Skelly came to me, and he sees the times and sees what's going on. And he said, you know, we need a trumpet, a prophetic trumpet. We've never said that before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it took forever just to even say the word prophet. And I still don't say that. And because they get beat, I'm thinking possibly that we're in trouble, but I don't know. And he said, we need a trumpet on the Gulf Coast and a prophetic trumpet. No matter which way it goes, we just need to be faithful to God and just trumpet out the truth. And then we get a call from a Jewish believer that was in the time of Kristallnacht, not Yolanda, but Yavanna, I think.
I can't think of her name right now.
Hey, sorry. And she says she's going to prophesy to me, and she has no idea what God is saying. She says, you're a trumpet. You're a trumpet. And so all of a sudden, things just shifted. And, you know, two studios later, here we are right here. Here we are right here. You know, 4 years now, you know, broadcasting around the world from this place. And you know personally, right, because you're involved in a lot of the intricate broadcasting parts into Germany. Through SoundCloud, and you're seeing all the different platforms
literally
that are
reaching the nations. It's amazing to see what God has done, and God just said, "This is what I want you to do." And we said, "All right."
Correct.
And it's been a journey. It's been a journey.
You just thought the Marines were hard, right?
Yeah. That's until funny. I got into ministry.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you're going to take God seriously and do what He says, I mean, it's going to be a journey because you're going against the grain quite often. Sad to say, hopefully not much longer. And so you're seeing, I mean, God gave you that dream. Remember the dream that God gave you and spoke to you in this dream? And you think about this before we say that we hear about, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, we talk about that often, but we don't say that came in a dream.
Yeah.
That was God speaking to Solomon in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear about in him saying, dear God, give me wisdom. Instead of riches, God's speaking to him in a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, so many things. The name of Jesus came in a dream to Mary and also to Joseph.
Yeah.
And so many people are hearing from God, and they're thinking, nah, what's the big deal? It's like, it's God telling you.
Yeah,
you better write because I'm going to have many people come and eat. So because you're part of the writing journalist staff as well here in ministry, and you're writing along with Jordan and with Emma, their writings are just, it's amazing gift. that Pat and I don't have that gift. But we sure can read your writing. No.
Oh, yes.
And so the torch, you know, the torch goes out mm-hmm. to around the world. And but what did God show you without talking about location specifically? Mm-hmm. You know, what did he say about what's happening here and what he's going to do with the writings?
Well, look, I remember God showed me a dream, and I was in a house, mm-hmm. and I don't know the specifics of it. And I walked into a room, and you and Pat were actually intricately and very intensely working on a computer.
No.
And really? I look back in the room, and this was a gigantic room, and the room was the entire room was a pool,
like a
swimming pool, but it was just inside this room.
Okay.
And the water was raising to near flood level, and I look at Pat, who's intensely working on this computer, and I'm like, Pat, I think we're about to have a flood in here. It's getting, I don't know what to do. And I'm talking to him, and I'm like, he's not paying attention to me. So I go back, and I walk. Yeah, and it's just like, he's not listening to me. And I go back to the other side of the pool, and some things you see in dreams, you just don't know how to explain things. But it was like an elevated desk, and it was a smaller pool, and I had a pencil in my hand. And I started kind of like, I don't know if I was writing on the water, or if I was just kind of shaking the water, whatever I was at the end of the pencil. And then all of a sudden, these fish started coming directly to the pencil.
The writings, basically.
To the writings.
I'll make you fishers of men.
Yeah, yeah. And it was wild because fish don't usually do this. Maybe they do. I don't know. But they looked right at me, and they started going, pop, 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 pop. And it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, what are you saying to me? But it was so powerful because God was just showing me is that, I mean, you look at that there were men and women that God spoke to in their lives and the journeys that are compiled in what was birthed through the Holy Spirit. And we read it every day. We read the Bible. But you think about it, there was somebody that took the time to write it. And now the same Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Over the nation, over the generation, God's like, I want you to write down what I'm saying.
And, you know, that's when, you know, I had asked you to, his plans for you was to begin to handle the writings in regards to the journalist aspect of that time in the torch. And God was confirming, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to be the byproduct of that if we remain faithful in that. And now we're seeing over a million, right?
Yep.
Over a million encounters so far and counting.
Yeah.
And it's just so if you want to read, if you have not signed up for the torch, the writings, which is it takes everything to the next level. You can see the programs, you can listen, or you can see articles. And it's very important to understand, too, that just not to talk out of our head. Everything that we're saying is sourced. So you can find the sources for what you're saying.
Goes into it, yeah.
Because a lot of people are talking their opinion and people are not going to listen. But if you talk about it, and we have. You know, a couple of writings
just
there, and you can search for any topic that you want to. I mean, you go there and searching, just type in anything you want. Plus, we have some basic topics as well. You know, it helps you understand Islam. It'll help you understand how important love is. All the prophecies that have been given are there.
Mm-hmm.
The original 10 of the church, the original 10 of the nation. So many good things are there for you. And God has just been giving it to us, and we've been sharing it and putting it out right there. It's just exciting to see it come to pass. And you can sign up. For your free copy of the torch, it comes to your email every single week, and go to vfntv.com. In the upper right hand corner, it says the torch newsletter, and it will come to you every single week. You can share it with others. You can sign the others up. And by the way, there's actually a free gift that we have available for you, and it has to do with prudent preparation right now that you need to prepare for what's ahead.
Yeah.
And we're just going to give that to you for signing up. Go to vfntv.com, upper right hand corner, and sign up today for the writings,
yes,
the torch newsletter. Well, we have this offer for you, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about, depending on our time, the National Police Force and what God is showing us with that. Plus, is this like a dress rehearsal for what happened to Bonhoeffer in Nazi Germany? Well, Rick Joyner is saying that. Join us after the break. Today's offer 2010 for your partnership of any amount is learning how to hold fast to what God has promised you no matter what. A life of honor. Life has a tendency to throw us curveballs. When it seems things are going one way, they end up going another. When it comes to the Word of God, the Word God has spoken over us, the promises of God, it's important to learn how not to let these curveballs throw you off. In this message, you'll learn how important it is to notice the Lord working in your town, honor Him, God in that, the ministers in your town, and making a place for the Lord and His ministers in your heart and home. You will see the amazing goodness of God and how He returns in greater measure the blessing and the honor that you give Him. And today, when so many people tied up in what's in it for me, we learn how to honor God and make room for Him. He will take care of us in a greater way than we could ever imagine when we honor Him. We'll also learn that if He said it, that settles it, and how to hold fast to the promises of God no matter what. In the natural, it may seem like it's over, but it's never over with God. Remember, Abraham, the father of faith, against all hope, in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. As children of faith, as believers, even us, against all odds, need to hold on to the promises of God and become everything God has set over us. Today's offer is offer 2010, learning to hold fast to what God has promised you, no matter what, a life of honor. To become a partner, go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now, or write to us at VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or call us at 844-408-3688. Today's offer is 2010, learning to hold fast to what God has promised you, no matter what.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church.
I'm Pastor Joey Rogers of Pace Assembly, and we want you to mark your calendars now for September the 11th at 6 p.m. for United in Prayer.
We're excited about bringing our churches together, and we want to invite you to join us at the Pensacola Bay Center on 9/11. We need spiritual awakening in our community.
And this is the time to gather the church. September the 11th, 6 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
Is it legal to wear a Christian Christmas pin to a public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Substitute teacher in public school, and I was wondering if it is legal to wear a Christian Christmas pin that says Jesus is the reason for the season.
First, it's going to depend on what the policy of the school is. For instance, if teachers are allowed to wear a cross and Star of David, which they're supposed to be allowed to wear, they shouldn't have a problem with saying Jesus is the reason for the season. The argument may well be that if they object to it, may be that, in fact, there's concern because you're an agent of the state and that's somehow endorsing religion. But it really shouldn't be a problem. If it's part of your sincerely held religious faith that you want to wear this pin to express what the true meaning of the holiday is, it shouldn't be a problem at all. And I would go ahead and do it, but I would probably talk to the school administration first and find out what the policies are.
Learn more about keeping Christmas in our culture at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Joyce from Vacaville, California, is a fitness trainer and a business owner, and she wanted me to talk about Measurable. I can understand, Joyce, why you would like me to do that, because you're a fitness trainer, and you're constantly, with your clients, measuring their progress. Of course you are. But it's not only important for a fitness trainer or a coach or for a speaker, but it's important for all of us to measure our accomplishments. And here's why. When we measure something, now we not only have a reality of where we are, but we have a goal of where we want to go, and now we become intentional. Show me a person who doesn't know where they are, doesn't know where they want to go, and I will promise you they won't get there. Now, the good news is they'll still be happy, probably, because they didn't know where they were supposed to be. But when you measure the things of life that are important, what gets measured gets done, then you achieve the things of life which are important. So, put it this way. If it's important, measure it. If it's not important, don't worry about it. But what gets measured is what gets done.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. A national police force. You think, well, that's just so far out. That would never happen. So follow me for a moment. Imagine having so much conflict in the nation that the very thing that you always trusted, that there's so much, the narrative of the day is that people in blue are bad, that there's no such thing as just police officers, and which is not true, but you're seeing this thing promulgated, mm-hmm. and people are openly, grown folks are openly saying they distrust law enforcement. And it's like distrusting your skin, because if you don't trust your skin keeps infection out.
Yeah.
And so if all of a sudden you have this protective layer called law enforcement in your community, you know, 99.9% of them are healthy, good, mm-hmm. law-abiding, great people and citizens. Maybe a small number. There are a small number that are not good necessarily, but it's very small. But you don't quit your whole company because you got a bad employee. You fire them. Well, now imagine, because we're seeing that narrative now, where people are actually shooting our police officers, massacring them in the streets of Dallas, Texas, who were standing up for the First Amendment rights of the Texas citizens, the Dallas citizens there. And people were actually somewhat in agreement with it. Some weren't somewhat, but our president went there and lectured people on police problems instead of having empathy for that one moment. I mean, we have that for you on the VFN Torch. So what's going on here? Could it be a national police force? Well, how would that happen? Imagine this. There's this thing called martial law. Rick Joyner says, we're going to be in martial law. Over and over again, you're here. We're going to be in martial law. Martial law is not an unconstitutional thing. It's when things go crazy and they start getting all chaotic, they put martial law in. What martial law means is your county commissioners don't mean anything. Your city council doesn't mean anything. Your governors don't mean anything. Everything now is run under one person. The commander in chief and whoever they put over that. The president becomes over all of America during martial law. George Washington did it. Other presidents have done it. Martial law is not bad, depending on who the marshal is.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine having a security force already set up to begin to kind of bring on the scene when you have martial law and kind of replace, like the retired Philadelphia police chief said, we need to close down half of the 18,000 law enforcement agencies in America. Now imagine a thing called Homeland Security already has police cars. Mm-hmm. They already have the equipment. They already have all this armory to what? I mean, you're supposed to protect us. Is it for us? But then let's go back to Colorado and see, was this the original plan all along of our president? I mean, he talked about it very specifically in Colorado. Let's hear how he talks about we need a well-funded national security force, as well-funded as the military. But understand this, the military constitutionally cannot be used against us. They cannot use their powers against us. But if there's a martial law, that's when things change. And imagine them already having somebody in the waiting, in the wings for that. Let's take a look.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded. And we're looking at Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
So tragedy happens, and you're seeing the escalation. If you interview any of the officers, they're telling you, this is crazy. This is not going to work. That's your skin on your body. If you do away with your skin, America's going to get an infection. But if you have new skin waiting for you, called a national police force that automatically, because you can do whatever you want to in martial law, it becomes a dictator at that moment trying to stop the crime. Then they just loose all of a sudden. Now you have patrol in your neighborhood. Get this. a blue and white car. It's mostly white, got blue letters on it. It says Homeland Security. They pull you over, and they write you a speeding ticket, but you mail the payment to Washington, D.C. The executive branch of America is the one who's running the speed limit. We can actually handle race issues better. We're the government. We can actually handle crime better. We can be more just. Maybe they can't. I don't know, but that's not America.
Right.
America is a constitutional America where you actually talk to, interview, and decide who you want to be your sheriff. You talk to and decide who you want to be your city council, who actually chooses and hires a police chief. So the people who enforce laws around you, which is the Constitution and the statutes of your state, those are people that you chose to be there. Now imagine the people in Washington, D.C., a senator out of Utah, for example, or whatever, coming in deciding how your neighborhood's going to be policed. I really believe in my spirit. I just wanted to say that and put that out there. But then now you're looking at, that's exactly what happened in Germany. They merged the whole thing, and next thing you know, they had a Führer who, that's what, mm-hmm. Means leader for Hitler, and he worked his way politically to a point, but then he had the Night of Long Knives where he basically had Parliament and convinced them, after burning it down, to sign their rights away. And you're looking exactly what Rick Joyner's saying, that we're on the same path. We are on the very same path, like a dress rehearsal for what happened in Nazi Germany. Let's listen now.
Rick, we really do want to talk about America today. I know it's heavy on your heart, and the Lord has shown you a lot concerning the future of America, and not to be doom and gloom, because we also believe that there is a revival and a move of God coming as well. But talk a little bit about the demise of America, the Supreme Court, et cetera, things that are on your heart.
Well, the America, I had to go back to the foundations to first see for myself, is this a God thing? Did he really, have a special purpose for America? And because I really didn't know. And but after years of study and search, I saw the hand of God. I saw his purpose. And to me, we're not the New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. We're not mm-hmm. the kingdom of God, but we're a nation with a purpose and a calling. But you have to make your calling and election sure. We have to choose the way of God. And I think we've been used as a nation in some unique ways that no other nation has ever been used in the same way that we have been. But I don't think we've fulfilled our purpose and destiny yet. And so I wanted to first get in touch with this was a God thing, wanted to see his hand, mm-hmm. see his purpose. And then, as you said, two roads, there's a saying, if you don't change your direction, you end up where you're headed. Mm-hmm. I think for a period of time, decades now, we've been on the road of the downward spiral. Mm-hmm. And we are headed for destruction. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to, if we stay on this road, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be just us morphing into some socialist, mm-hmm. Type of country. It's going to be, I think, worse than what was experienced in Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. Now, I went back to the roots of that, too. I spent over 30 years with some of the most well-known and probably the true authorities on what happened in Nazi Germany, some of my best friends. I spent decades with them, spent years in dialogue trying to understand, because I believe what happened there was a dress rehearsal for what the devil's trying to do in the whole world.
Mm-hmm. What did you find in those two histories, Germany and America?
Well, we're coming to a similar time of economic shake up. And I think, what happened in Germany when their mark collapsed, the German mark, which was their currency, it opened the door to the worst forms of tyranny and evil. Mm. And I had been shown back in 1987 that our dollar was going to collapse and that I would find parallels for what the greatest dangers would be when that happened and what happened in Nazi Germany. And I just so happened to right away meet the man who was thought of by me to be the foremost authority on what happened there. And he had been the American commandant for the Spandau prison that housed all the Nazi war criminals. He helped lead Rudolf Hess, von Schirach, Albert Speer to the Lord, some of the most famous Nazis who we're going to find in heaven, you know, who all met the Lord in spectacular ways. It was because of Colonel Byrd, but Byrd, I spent, you know, many, I don't know how many times we went and he took us on tours. And of course, you'll see his name on the credits of almost every World War II movie. And, but we both had the same thing, the feeling this is going to come to America if we don't understand it and we don't turn from the way we're headed.
And when you say that, when we turn, because you said earlier, making our calling and election sure, and if we don't turn, and in saying that, what can we as leaders of the body of Christ, directing the people of God and the church of God, what do we have to do in making that turn?
One thing, I think some of the greatest crises we're facing is because of a lack of leadership in the church and a lack of courage in the
courage,
church.
Yeah.
I was just with some senators and congressmen in Washington, and one of them, it broke my heart. He just said, you know, you would see a whole lot more courage in Washington if we saw a lot more courage in the church.
Wow.
He said, we don't feel like the church has our back. Wow. And we've got to take our stand with what he says is evil is evil. What he says is righteous is righteous. And we've got to take our stand on that without compromise. And we've got to preach these things for the sake of those who are in the bondage of the sin to set the captives free.
What we've seen over and over again is America's going to be brought to a point that it looks like it's over. You know, we're going to make this available to you so we have a lot of time. But one was that our national security would just look like it's over, but then it would rise. Another one is America's in chains and it looks like it's going to be enslaved, but then it breaks loose and then it's chained again and then it breaks loose again. And the end result of that one was I saw it totally break loose, but there was that struggle going on. And finally, Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence just released a prophetic word where he saw America, the entire United States of America, at nighttime, like if you would, and lights over, and he just saw the word Ichabod, which means the glory had departed. God is going to leave America, for example, what it would mean. But it never fully materialized. It kind of just started to come, the word started to come in. It was big across the whole United States. But then it just started kind of fading back away again. And it seems like we're going to be brought to the brink of humility. When I think about this, I think about Ziklag. You know, Ziklag, here's this man of God, a man after God's own heart named David. He's the king. And the enemy just came in and stole all of his stuff, stole his family, and he thought it was totally over. It was so bad that he had to, and nobody or everybody began to turn on him. And here he was called by, God to be able to lead them, and they began to blame him, and all this kind of stuff was going on, and his family was gone, everything was gone. And it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I mean, you're going to begin to put down things, write things down, and put shelves of remembrance up so you can remember what God has done. Because we're going to go through something, it looks like you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to take the time and remember the wonders of the Lord. Because when you do that, I mean, you can hold on. You can really hold on. And of course, when they came through that, God restored everything back after Ziklag, you know, plus some, and nobody was left out of that. And so, but sometimes we're going to go through Ziklag, and it looks like based on what we're seeing, obviously we're presumptuous, you know, we're prideful, and we go like, we don't have to repent, and we should stay rebellious towards God. Well, it's not going to be a Ziklag, it's just going to be an overlag, right? I know we've got to close here. But I just want to tell you that to be prepared, we have been blowing this trumpet that we've been talking about, that God defined us as the trumpet. And I have a trumpet on my shelf to remember what God says. Like, that's what we're doing. That's right. We've got to put this word out. We're seeing the atmosphere change like God showed Rick Joyner in the book. He wrote about it in his vision that he had, not the final quest, but the torch and the sword. That the more you talk about truth and begin to, you know, like Rick Joyner said, the Congress, the government saying, listen, the church is not behind us. If you would wake up and get behind us. And what happens is the church gets behind government for the wrong issues versus like, hey, we've got to begin to get for righteous issues in a humble way. I mean, we can't point our finger at anybody because it's us, if my people, who've gone astray. And so I just want to pray with you right now. I want to encourage you. This thing stops, what God told John Paul Jackson, when we cry out to God. and just ask God to begin to soften your heart, Lord, that I would feel again. Don't let the enemy just harden your heart, that you would feel compassionate towards what's going on, and you would feel the pain of what's happening so that you would cry out to God. Father God, we love you. We thank you that you're speaking to us, and that you love us enough to warn us and to tell us what's coming. Lord, I just pray right now for each and every one that has suffered great loss across this world, across this nation, that you would comfort them, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for the leaders, that they would understand that God has put you, allowed you to be in this place to lead for a time such as this, and that if they would have responded to that prophetic warning, the third prophetic warning that we just saw today, then things may have been different, that things can be different in your state. Things could be different in your city. Things could be different in your county. I just believe that, you know, like I was told, that you're going to begin to just judge things differently. If that state stands with you, you're going to bless that state. If that city stands with you, that you're going to bless that city. If that family stands with you, you're going to bless that family. No longer it's going to be some corporate United States thing. But Lord, I just pray for each and everyone right now that you would comfort them, that you would speak to them in visions and dreams, that you would lead them, Lord, in an abiding relationship with you, Father God. If they hadn't yet become a disciple, they'd become your disciple, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, to America. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.